Well, I think the Stampeders performed okay at times. Their running game was completely non-existent, but I think you have to give the BC Lions credit for that, too. Obviously, when you look at this game and Khalif Mitchell appeals his suspension so he can play in this game, well, it worked out handsomely for the BC Lions. John Cornish was minus 1 yard on six carries, and he plugged up the middle perfectly, and they couldn't run up the against that Lions front four, and without a run game in this league, you're going to be completely one-dimensional, and Kevin Glenn was just constantly going to Nick Lewis, and it just wasn't going to happen going to him constantly. They have to spread out the ball a little bit better, and I think they're going to have some questions going into bye week. Not a good way to go into bye week, obviously. Now they have a few days off and have to stew about this loss for a while.
Yeah, no one will stew more than Huffnagel and the coaches, I know. But for what is it? What is happening with the run game? Coming into this season, of all the things, all the change, maybe there were still some that were in the camp of Henry Burris and felt that Drew Tate was a little bit unproven. Maybe they were all for Drew Tate. The one thing, the one area where you felt good, I think, confidence-wise, if you're a fan, was in the run game, based on what you saw out of Cornish last year. Was totally ready to take over from Joffrey Reynolds, and did, looked fine. Now, out of four of the last 5 weeks, set aside the first week in which things were pretty good, Canada Day at home, it's been ineffective to, and again, as minus 1 yard will tell you, completely just a non-factor. What are we seeing with the run game? Because I know afterwards Cornish kind of threw the gauntlet at his O-line.
Yeah, well, and that's what we went to Cornish and asked him what's wrong with the run game, and he pinned it on the guy standing in front of him. And when you say it's really annoying when you get the ball and you get smacked in the face, well, he's pretty much saying that he has no chance. So, yeah, the offensive line really had no push in that game. They didn't create any holes. But what the Stampeders should have done is try to bounce it outside then immediately, try to swing Cornish out on and get him out into the flat and try and get him away from the center of that defense that was so dominant. They didn't try and do that. It seemed like every time that they did go for a rushing play, it was trying to go up the middle, then bounce outside. They can't go through those first line of tacklers, and then it died immediately.
Yeah.
But if you think of the games that they've had good running, you know, a good running attack this year, who started that game at quarterback? That was Drew Tate in week one. Ever since then, it's been getting worse and worse and worse. I think the teams, they don't respect the passing game as much as when Drew Tate was in there, and that's what happens. They're pinning their ears back, and they're doing that running game blitz where they just a couple of players key in on Cornish and then blitz him, and they know that they're not going to get burned too badly if Kevin Glenn gets some time, because he's not going to scramble away from pressure and be able to find open guys the way that Drew Tate could. So they're going to have to figure out some ways. They're going to have to be some creative, some creative work here to get Cornish out into space and try and get get him able to do what he does.
Yeah.
If you see the two receptions that he made, he did exactly what he used to do, is get through tacklers. Once he got some speed going, he was able to find the hole and get through and get some good yardage. So that's what they're gonna have to be some creativity over the next couple of weeks.
It's not what you do in a team sport. You don't call out your other teammates. But he's right, isn't he?
Yeah, the truth is sometimes surprising, isn't it?
Yeah.
We all know that he was getting hit in the backfield a lot, and he was very frustrated. And the funny thing is, he went into the trainer's room and sort of was hiding out after the game. We thought he was going to just completely blow us off, but we hung around, waited, and he seemed disappointed, went to see us standing by his locker at almost a half hour or so after the game, and he just teed off. We asked him one question, and he just went on a rant. And it's in some ways it's sort of refreshing on our time or our side, because we want to. We want the truth. We want to know how people are actually feeling, and not something sugar-coated. But also, I was stunned that a guy would go out and just completely, put everything else on, all the problems on somebody else. Especially when he says, I actually felt like I played a pretty good game.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers don't bear that out, that you played a pretty good game. And when that type of thing happens, it's you know, you have to expect a bit of your responsibility in what happened in a loss like that.
He is Ian Busby from the Calgary Sun, joining us here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The aside from the run game, and you talked about Nick Lewis, and I think I saw you on Twitter, that basically it looks like right now it's a failed run game, and Nick Lewis is about all there is as far as creativity in the offense. And I didn't see it coming down this way, that this was going to be about, if anything, I thought maybe Nick Lewis with the extra weight and everything was going to be a part of it, but I thought with what we saw out of just everybody around him, I still feel like Rombie Bryant could be one of the better receivers in the league. And, you know, waiting for Marquay McDaniel to have an impact, and, of course, there's enough talent around. But right now, it's Nick Lewis or bust, and I didn't think it was going to be this one-dimensional so fast.
Right. And the crazy part is that the one time they did try a real, you know, interesting play, it was third and two. They run play action, and then they go a nice crossing route for Johnny Furzani, and he makes a great catch, and then he puts the ball on the turf. And maybe the reason they're going to Nick Lewis constantly is they feel that's the only guy that they can really rely on. And Rombie Bryant, over the last couple of years, he's open a lot, and he just doesn't seem to get the ball to him. And nobody has seemed to get the ball to him. Henry wasn't getting the ball to him last year. Drew was a little bit, and then Kevin Glenn hasn't gotten the ball to him a whole lot either. That's a guy that was a big play receiver, you know, a couple of years ago, 15 touchdowns for this team. Obviously, he was a big impact, you know, when he came over in that trade with Winnipeg. But that's a guy that you have to figure out if they can get the ball to him. And is he sliding in his career? He's over 30 now, and he's not putting up the numbers he was a couple of years ago. And you'd have to think that that's the guy that they're going to have to break out and try and spread the ball around. Obviously, if you have a great possession receiver like Nick Lewis and somebody that's going over the middle and doing really well, you need to spread the ball deep a little bit. Furzani and Rombie Bryant are going to be the guys that can do that, and then that will give you a little bit more balance in your offensive pass game.
What about Johnny Furzani? Still, he makes the big catch on Saturday and then puts it on the carpet. He has not really had anything close to a big game or, you know, anything close to a big reception. Here we are 5 weeks in. I thought that this would have been a bit more of a coming out party for him.
Yeah, he's struggling right now, and I think he has to, you know, turn it around with confidence. Now, Johnny is getting into the situations where he's, you know, making a big play and then he's making a mistake at the end, and that's tough. We think of him as a guy who's been in with the Stampeders organization for a long time. This is his third year as an official member of the team, and then he was, you know, sort of a route runner before that. But he hasn't played a whole lot of football in his life, and he's still really sort of fresh to the, you know, to this game. He grew up playing basketball mainly, and switched to football after high school. He never played high school football. He went straight to junior and then played a year at college and then came to the CFL. So it's easy to forget that he's fairly, you know, fresh and young in this game. He still has a long way to go in terms of, you know, experience and just getting down, you know, all the nuances that kids learn when they're playing, you know, through bantam and midget and then junior. You know, junior and high school, and he doesn't have a whole lot of that. So he's facing some adversity right now, and I think he's going to be able to turn it around. But it would be nice if he just had a good game to break himself out, because I think that's what he needs. I think he needs a good game, and then things will take off for him.
So how do you fix it? I'm sure that John Huffnagel and the powers that be and the brains will sit behind closed doors. I don't know that it's a trade. I don't know that you can fix from within. I mean, you tell me. What's first on the pecking order as far as trying to turn things around?
Well, and I would say it's almost impossible to fix an offensive line midseason. And in this game, they lost Nashawn Goddard, their right tackle, to a torn ACL, and it looks like he's going to be done for the year, which means Stanley Bryant's going to come back on, and Stanley Bryant was their nominee for top lineman last year, so he's not without some skill, but he lost his job, you know, in the early part of this year to Goddard, and he's going to have to come back and give them some production. And where do you find some Canadian interior offensive linemen? Well, you can't at this point in the year. That's something that's going to have to be done with hard work, and as I said, they're do some creativity. Try to take the pressure off the offensive line in some ways. You know, get outside. You know, work the receivers a little bit more, and try and get some blockage out of Nick Lewis. And he, you know, it's smarter minds than I have are on the case, and they'll be able to. You know, they'll come up with something. It's not all lost. I think they were even with the Lions for more than half that game. And then it just sort of fell apart. And the one thing is the defense really could have helped them out by getting off the field a couple of times, but Travis Lule got into a groove, and suddenly he was putting together these long, long drives. And when that happens, it's easy to get out of rhythm on both sides of the ball.
Whenever a team struggles, and I think it's in all levels of football, and again, they're already onto the backup, but I wonder, you know, with another week, a week off, and then Hamilton and they're rolling, Henry Burris and all that, if it's another so-so effort offensively, are we treading into Bo Levi Mitchell territory soon?
I wouldn't think so, because I think they have to know what the limitations of Kevin Glenn are. They knew that when they picked him up. They just have to work with him. Bo Levi Mitchell would be in a remarkable rise to play in the CFL if he came in, won a job in training camp, and then is suddenly thrust into action this quickly. I don't think there's too many guys in the history of this league that have come in as 22-year-olds and gone in and had success at quarterback. So I think we're a ways away from that happening in panic mode, but Bo Levi Mitchell definitely has a future in this league, and his calm and poise and every play that he's ran with the Stamps so far is a real positive, and I think in the future that guy could be a real force as a starting quarterback for this team. But it's not going to happen right away, and I would think that the Stamps don't want it to happen right away, because they don't want to have a situation where he goes in and he loses all his confidence and suddenly feels bad about himself for anything that's going on.
So now you are bringing your talents to Northeast Calgary today, is that correct?
I'm going to be there later afternoon, and I'll be hanging out with Peter Labardius. It should be a melding of hockey versus football minds, and we'll see how that works. It should be a yin versus yang type of situation.
Well, I'm just happy that the Riders have lost two in a row, so it'll keep your Rider Love Fest down to the bare minimum, I would think.
Well, I've never heard of any of my Rider Love Fest. I can't speak for Lubo, but to me, giving away a couple of victories the way that the Riders have, it's good to see that group of fan base maybe humbled a little bit.
I would agree. I would agree. I usually call it right down the middle. I call it I'm impartial, but in that case, I would agree with you. Thanks for doing this, Buzz. We'll be listening this afternoon.
You bet. Thanks a lot, man.